How many of you right now are in higher management positions? Okay, all right. How many of you are hoping to get there? Okay. Let me tell you a story. The restaurant door opens up and in walks an Indian. The Indian is leading a bull. In one hand, he's got a shotgun in the other. He sits down at the table and Maitre D' says, "Yes, sir, can we help you, chief?"
"Me want him coffee."
"Yes, sir, coming right up." Put the coffee in front of him, drank a couple cups. Next thing you know, man, he blew that bull all to pieces and they shrapnel went everywhere. Then he just gets up, walks out. Well, the next morning, door opens up. Who do you think walks in? That Indian walks in, leading the bull, shotgun in one hand, bull in the other. Maitre D' said, "Now, that's, hold on there a minute, Tonto. You were in here yesterday. You ordered coffee. We gave it to you. Then you shot that thing and made a mess and left. What's going on?" "Oh, glad you asked. Me in training for upper management position. Me learning how to come in late, drink coffee, shoot bull, make mess for others, clean up, leave."
Is that a joke? That's the way it is.
You did raise your hand when I asked for who was in upper management. Yeah, huh? Okay. I've only got, my clock is ticking, so I'll quit fooling around and get on with it. You have volunteered to lead. You've been called to lead. And you accepted the challenge. That's the only reason you're here tonight. You're not here for a door prize drawing. You're here because you've accepted that challenge. You've done the assignments. You've memorized the verses. And you've learned how to meet with God. Woo! That's a biggie. You've learned how to meet personally with the one who made you. The one who knows everything about you. The one that knows your thoughts before you even say them. The one who knows that you have areas that are absolutely cruddy. But he still loves you, still accepts you, and still opens up heaven for you to visit with him any time you desire. That is wow. Isn't God extravagant? You've learned how to Bible feed yourself. And for some of you, 2 years ago, you couldn't do that. Is that not true? You've learned how to know Jesus Christ. Not know about him, but to actually know him. And you've received your diploma. Wow. So now what do? Big deal. You got the diploma sitting on the wall over there. Some of you even put it in a frame. Some of you really made a special place for it. Others of you, you don't even know where it is. So now what do? Well, number one, you teach. You're here tonight, and you teach by example. We don't tell people we're going to memorize Scripture. We show them that we memorize Scripture by reviewing the verses. When we sit down to the table, I sit with next to a different table member every week. So that I'm reviewing verses with a different person every week, and they're checking me out. They're checking me out on the verse that he or she learned for that week and the last two or three or four, plus the new one that I'm learning on my own, which is not part of that. Are you with me? Yeah, it makes sense? So they're learning how to memorize Scripture because I memorize Scripture. They've seen me do it. During that process, while she and I are reviewing, I'm finding out that she's struggling. So I'm beginning to see she has an issue probably with review. She probably does not review. Have you found that that's one of the keys? Yes? Some of you are going like this. If not, then it's like this. If you're not sure, it's like this. You lead by example. You encourage others how to feed themselves from the Word of God. That's your objective. My objective is not to get Bob so he can memorize 3 verses a week or 1 verse a week. That's not it. That's nice. That's part of the assignment. That is not my objective. My objective is to help, encourage, motivate, and challenge, and show him how he can feed himself from that Bible that's been on his shelf for 20 years. Okay, this is the biggest deal God has granted you to participate in with him. You being a leader of 8 other people coming in here. You're going to find at your table some people that don't know anything about God, the Trinity, all that kind of stuff. That's fine. That's irrelevant. What we want them to do and what you want to do is create a desire in them that they want to know about Jesus. They want to meet Jesus. They want to know him. Now, why that and not something else? Because that's what the Bible is about. That's what God is about. God is about revealing his Son. And why is he such a big deal? Oh, everything is held together by him. There's not anything made that he didn't make. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So, it's Jesus. It's not the church. It's not this organization. It's not ED. It's not scripture memory. It's Jesus. You help them get to know him. Now, the best way you can do that is not to tell them, well, what you need to do, you need to have a quiet time. And you need to do your Bible study every week. And you need to review your verses and know your verses. That ain't going to do it. What you need to do is you spend your time with your Father. You get excited about him from your time in the Word. And then when you sit down at this table, what are you sharing? You're sharing your relationship with him. Now, all of you in here, many more than others, know about my wife. You know about my wife. I know my wife. There's a difference. Do you understand that? Do you see that? Does anybody here know Josh Hamilton? You were almost gonna. Was that a fake me out?
It actually itched.
Oh, I had it itching. Nobody raised their hand. So nobody. How many know of him? Ah, see, it's all head knowledge, but you don't know him. What a difference. What we're talking about and what we're wanting to do with ED and what your assignment is to motivate, encourage, and help these people get to know and want to know Jesus. Not learn about him with facts. Head knowledge doesn't do anything. It doesn't change your life. It starts with the head. Now, if you have the mentality of my two daughters, it's not going to help much. But if you have the mentality of which you folks here have, it starts with the head, it moves to the heart. If you don't personalize the verses that you're memorizing and help those people to learn and understand, you need to personalize what you're memorizing for you. If you don't personalize it, it's a lot of facts. Head knowledge doesn't do it. What is it that it says in the New Testament? I think it's in James or wherever. Show my ignorance. It says, you believe in God, you do well. The devil also believes, but he trembles. So head knowledge doesn't do it. And we're not interested in getting people just to go through the books and just to memorize scripture. You're the key. You need to help them personalize it because you yourself are personalizing it. And if you yourself are not personalizing it, it won't run downhill and they won't grab it. They won't get it. Are you with me? Okay, you cannot take this assignment that God has given you and you've accepted lightly. And you can't run on past victory. The table that you led last semester, you say, well, man, I got that down. We're going to move into this one. You cannot do that. I would ask you this, those of you that were leaders, how many of you who were leaders in one of your table went to two? How many of you who were table leaders of book two, that they went to three? The attrition as they go through from one to two to three really drops off. The table leader is the key. We've got some table leaders in our room tonight that the people that started in one went to two. Those that went to two went to three. Those that went to three got the diploma. There's something about the table leader, you as a leader. This is not just a job. We're not shuffling dominoes. We're not cleaning out the barn. We're dealing with people's hearts, their emotions, their souls, and the anxiety in which they work and live. The frustration that they're having at the house. Their son or daughter that is just coming off the wall and they don't know what to do with them. The wife who is ill, or he himself. The job that is up and... You're dealing with these the same way you are. So these people that are now sitting down as at your table, they are now your assignment. And you need to accept it very seriously. This is not just a class to let's see what we can do. We're going to play church. Each engagement is a new set of obstacles, challenges, and blindside attacks and misconceptions. People are going to come in here with under misconception. They've heard of Bible studies. They've done Bible studies before, and they've done church meetings before, but they haven't done one like ED. They haven't done one that focuses on Jesus and just Jesus. Though we learn them how to use the tools, the focus is on Him. The advances of the enemy by way of discouragement of that new, I call him a feeder, that new feeder that is sitting at your table. Satan, if he can discourage that individual, by the second week, they'll drop out. If you as a leader don't take their pulse and take their temperature while they're there and at the table, they're gone. And now they're going to say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. When maybe all it would have taken would have been after the meeting that night, hey, why don't we go get a cup of coffee? You got time for that? I'd like to get to know you better. And then you can talk to them about it. You can't always do that at the table. In fact, it's pretty much prohibitive because of the time factor. Their preoccupation or the lust of things that they want and the worries about what they have now, what they've already got, they're worried about how am I going to protect it and what's going to happen to it. Their investments. You're failing to pray for each of them will have a big effect on whether they succeed or fail. And I want to encourage you to pray Scripture. I want to encourage you to be specific, and I'll give you an example. Not whimsily catch-all, meaning nothing, churchy prayers, such as, God, thank you for being here. Thank you for the people that are at my table. I ask that you bless them and be with them. Amen. Hello. That accomplished just about as much. Number one, God promised to be with them. Number two, He promised that He'd take care of them. His desire is that the enemy be held at bay. So what you need to do is claim Scripture for each of them by name. What's your name? Mark. Okay, so Mark's at my table. Mark, when I pray for Mark, I'm going to pray that the words in your mouth and the meditations of your heart will be acceptable, Father, in your sight. I ask for Mark that you will turn him from darkness to light, the power of Satan to yourself. I ask that your word will be the lamp to his feet and the light to his path. He will lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset him, and he'll walk with patience the race you've set before him, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of his faith, lest he become weary and faint. I pray that he will thirst after your word like a deer thirsts for a mountain brook, as a man searches for hid treasure. Now, When you pray specific scripture that God Himself penned, and God Himself has indicated that's His heart, when you pray that back to the Father and wrap that around Mark, do you think God is going to say, "Ain't going to happen, boy"? Or do you think that'll become a reality in Mark's life? That's what I'm talking about. Pray these people by name specifically. And then 6 weeks later, look at the reality of it. You can see it. You can measure it. You are the key. You, the leader, are the key to them wanting to be fed more of God's Word, or they want to throw up. Your job as a leader is to stay focused on the objective. That is to teach them how to feed themselves to know Jesus. Now, you're going to do that by an example. Let me give you an illustration. With a baby, the objective is feed them, burp them, change them, lay them down, protect them. And then let's start to cycle all over again. But eventually, you're going to encourage them to take a spoon and to get it all over with themselves. They're going to want to play in it, throw it, slap it. That's part of the fun. Come on. That's part of it. The other interesting thing is when you're feeding a baby, is feeding. You don't mind me using you, do you? The other thing about feeding a baby is that it gets you close to them. That baby needs that. That baby needs that touching, that feeling, and even rubbing that mustard and that ketchup and that pudding all over the face. Because you look different through your food. That's part of what a baby does when it feeds. And it needs to be part. It needs to have that. And if you as a parent or prospective parent, if you don't recognize that and do that, you're going to miss out on a big part of that child growing up and is bonding with you. That initial feeding experience is so critical. I have 37 years of experience of teaching a baby how to feed themselves. And as most of you know, I have two daughters, both of which are physically and mentally retarded. One's 37, the other's 35. They both live at home. My wife and I have chosen to take care of them rather than put them in an institution. So I have experienced more failures than victory. How about when you were learning how to shoot the hoops? Did you miss more than you put in the hoop? Yeah, it happens all the time. Same way here. But I have found out that even though they're retarded, by example is the best advantage that I have. I teach them, taught them how to use, how to hang on to the spoon or the fork, how to grab the cup, how to put it up here, and how to drink out of it, how to get the food on the fork into their mouth. I showed them how many, 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 many times, more defeats than victories. But my example was the greatest thing for them. And the food that I put on their plate, I made it palatable. They liked it. And that's what your job as a table leader is to make that Word of God palatable and desirable. Man, that was a good time we had tonight. Now, if you just go around and say, what'd you get for question one? What'd you get for two? How about question three? Who likes to do that? I mean, that's nothing. But when, and particularly those of you that have done the same book once, two, or even three times more, I'm encouraging you, go back through it afresh, new, and add your new experiences, your new insight, your new relationship with your Father. Add that to that. Now you got something, when the subject comes up at the table, it's alive. And it's from you. Love and care, being gentle and consistent, are the other big factors on my two daughters being able to feed themselves. Now, they set up to the table now, and they feed themselves. We have to fix their food for them. But they work that fork or that spoon. They work that cup, and they know how to say more. consistency pays off. You with your scripture memory, you with your review, you with your time with the Lord. Why do we want part of the graduation? Why is it 7 consecutive days? We want them, and it's your job to encourage them, motivate them to want to spend more than one day, more than 10 minutes with their Father. If you're not doing it, it won't come down. When I was in Washington, D.C., there was a gentleman who worked for the congressman that I did too, and he came to Jesus. He then ended up in Denver, a school teacher. Several years ago, I was up there helping him on a project, and I said to a couple of the men that he was helping spiritually, I said, Tommy, you memorizing scripture? He said, no, no. And so then I said to Mark, I said, Mark, you memorizing any scripture? No. So then I turned to the gentleman who was my spiritual son, and I'll call his name Bud. That's not his name. Bud, are you memorizing scripture? No, man, I haven't done it. Now, you see, the leader, they aren't doing it because he's not doing it. He's not taking God's word and personalizing it. Therefore, they haven't learned that either. What he does, they'll do. Does that make sense? Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't send them off someplace to do their own thing. He said, you do what I do. You come to me and I'll teach you. In fact, those of you that are burdened and heavy laden, I want you to take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I'm gentle and I'm humble, and you will find rest to your souls. Those people at your table need to know that about Jesus. And if you're experiencing that yourself, that will translate out. Now, what is the objective of feeding on God's Word? It's the relationship, folks. It's not the head knowledge. It's the relationship. Your relationship with Jesus. I'm 57 years in my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I left where I was just learning about Him. It's now my relationship with Him. Which is to get to know Jesus, not running programs. Get to know Jesus, not high marks for having done the assignment well. Get to know Jesus. Not a head full of scripture. Get to know Jesus of the Bible, not 7 days of accomplishments. Those are not the objectives. Now you do them. When you're teaching that baby how to feed himself, you give him a spoon, you give him a cup, you give him a plate. Those are tools necessary to help him learn how to feed himself, right? Scripture memory, personal time with God, doing a Bible study, those are tools to help them get to know Jesus. Those are not the end in themselves. You with me? It's your mentality and your concept of that which will articulate to the people at your table.